The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Wednesday edition. Happy hump day, everyone. Sort of a unenthused Wednesday edition. And why would I say that? Because there's New Marquette University Law School polling out, and I find it quite unenthusing. Top line, Trump leads Biden in the state of Wisconsin, 51-49. How could the state of Wisconsin just be yawning this off 7 months to the election? And I get it, the horse race politics, high margins of error. This is only like 800-900 Wisconsin voters being polled. But as of today, Donald Trump is winning the state of Wisconsin within the margin of error, 51-49. Now, in case you're interested, about 8% of the electorate currently says they're undecided. I always wonder, how could that be? You know who these guys are. Well, when forced to make a choice amongst the 8% that declared themselves undecided, the late breakers tended to break towards Joe Biden, for whatever that's worth. So we've got new polling out, and we're going to have the pollster extraordinaire, Marquette University pollster extraordinaire, Charles Franklin. He joins in the 5 o'clock happy hour. We'll go all up inside these numbers. We'll get his opinion of why it is he continues to oversample Republicans time after time after time. I tease Charles. He puts forth what he perceives to be the most accurate snapshot of the current picture of the Wisconsin electorate. And as of today, Trump up modestly, 51-49. Now, what about the inclusion of the third parties? You know, I think I told you, CNN came to town. Everyone wants to know. The inclusion of the third parties, well, what does that do to the electorate? Well, I can tell you. In this part, I'll let you in on now. The RFK Jr. effect, if you will. The race changed very little when respondents were given the opportunity or option of a third-party candidate. With 5 candidates on the list, 41% of registered voters said they would vote for Trump, while 40% backed Biden. Well, that is a shift in the electorate. There's certainly a shift towards third-party candidates when given the option, and they will have that option on their ballot this fall. And, you know, that might change. But if it's a binary choice, Trump is up. If it's a 5-horse race, Trump is still modestly up. I don't like this. Independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Bobby's boy, netted 13% of registered voters, followed by Green Party candidate Jill Stein at 3% and independent candidate Cornell West at 2%. And why do I say voter enthusiasm is low? Because only 47% of those surveyed say they're very enthusiastic about voting, down from 49% in January, and that's a dramatic drop from March of 2020, when 67% of voters in Wisconsin were very enthusiastic about the election. That was the run-up, right? In March of 2020, we were still in the primary. Well, that was, you know, when Super Tuesday happened, and when Joe Biden became the nominee of the Democratic Party, and that's really when the pandemic and the lockdowns That was about the time that set in. And I can certainly understand why the American people would be looking for something other than the chaos, the utter chaos of Donald Trump. But are we going to find that we get another term of Donald Trump through lack of enthusiasm? You're going to yawn democracy off? Just give over to fascism. You know, Joe Biden, not a big fan, some of you might think. I think it's important, you know, and it's 7 months out. I think the third parties, if I understand correctly, the Robert Kennedy Jr., he is actually drawing more of the strength from Donald Trump off. But unfortunately, the third party candidates like Jill Stein and Cornel West, well, they bleed the energy away from Joe Biden. So anyways, we'll go all up inside these numbers. Charles Franklin coming along at 5:05, as is the custom when there is new Marquette University Law School polling out. So stick around for Charles. 3 hours every day. That's all we ask of you. That's not much to ask. And I wanted to sort of recap a story we had brought up, I believe, earlier this week. I know it's only Wednesday. Governor Tony Evers had asked Republicans, specifically, I believe it was the Joint Finance Committee, to come to the table and spend money to try and clean up our waterways from permanent forever chemicals. Do what you can. We got $125 million allocated. Let's do something with that money. Maybe more. Actually, the release is $140 million. That's a lot of jing. And the governor is begging Republicans to come do your job. Come legislate. Come spend this money on what it is intended. Because I can't imagine my conservative friends out there, even the Trump lovers, you don't want to drink forever chemicals in your water. You don't want your fish to be polluted. You want this to be a great land just like I do, right? Well, let's start with the water. Let's free up this money. Mary Spacuzza over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting. We now know where the Republicans have been because they're not doing their job. Up the Capitol yesterday, they no-showed in their entirety from the Joint Finance Committee. But anyways, Mary Spacuzza writes this. When Governor Tony Evers called a special meeting of the legislature's budget committee yesterday to release $140 million for combating forever chemical contamination and preventing rural hospital closures, Republican lawmakers were nowhere to be found. And some of the absentee GOP lawmakers were instead in Washington, D.C. this week for the Wisconsin Night fundraiser. It's Wisconsin Night, don't you know? And a big fundraiser hosted by the Republican Party of Wisconsin. A photograph posted on the Twitter, now known as X, by the Committee on House Administration, which is chaired by Rep. Brian Steil, showed a group of Republican Wisconsin state lawmakers joining members of the state's congressional delegation today to plant a sugar maple tree on the U.S. Capitol grounds. I don't know if you know this, sugar maple, that's Wisconsin's state tree. Hence the honor. And Finance Committee members at the tree planting, you know, those that weren't there trying to keep rural hospitals open or maybe clean up the forever chemicals from the water, you know, legislating, I think they call that. Well, they included Finance Committee members, you know, out in D.C., Mark Bourne, Republican from Beaver Dam. Well, he's the Joint Finance Committee co-chair. And Finance Committee members, Senator Joan Baldwin, Republican from Marquesan, Rep. Tony Kurtz, Republican from Wanawak, and Rep. Alex Dahlman, Republican from Green Lake. They were all at the big tree planting out in D.C. Oh, and that's to be followed by a big lobbyist-funded fundraiser for their benefit. Why would they be here legislating in the state of Wisconsin when there's clear financial benefit, you know, to go plant that tree and then get on to the real work of raising the big bucks in D.C.? Now, others in attendance included, and this is no shocker, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Speaker Pro Temp Kevin Patterson, Republican from Waupaca. One photo said the sugar maple, the official Wisconsin state tree, was dedicated Wednesday to honor the people of Wisconsin. Oh, do you feel honored? Do you feel honored? Are they going to water it with, you know, some PFAS? I'm not sure if that'd be good for the tree or your kids or your grandkids. Now, an invitation, talked about the big fundraiser coming up tonight. An invitation to the Wednesday night fundraiser obtained by the Journal Sentinel lists prices ranging from $1,000 per person to attend to $2,500 to sponsor and $5,000 to host. It's being held about 850 miles away from the state capitol. Now, a better golfer than I could probably hit a 9-iron from where I'm sitting right now to the state capitol. We're, you know, maybe a quarter mile away. Ah, we're not 400 yards away from the capitol. But anyways, here's my point. I can see the capitol from out there on State Street, but they probably couldn't. It's a long ways away to the fundraiser in D.C., about 850 miles away from the state capitol at the offices of the BGR Group, a prominent D.C. lobbying firm. Here is a statement from Governor Evers spokeswoman Britt Kutubek. Governor Evers called a meeting to release $140 million in already approved investments. Let me repeat that. Already approved investments to address urgent challenges facing our state, but not one Republican showed up. That's bad enough as it is, wrote Kutubek. But if Republican lawmakers didn't show up for work because they're too busy fundraising in Washington, D.C. for their reelection campaigns, while Wisconsinites need access to critical health care services and are waiting to get the pollutants out of their water, then that's even worse. She continued, we didn't find out about the fundraiser until yesterday. None of the Republican members of the Joint Finance Committee responded to requests for interview about their whereabouts Tuesday. Storm Linear, a spokesperson for Markporn, sent a statement last week accusing Evers of playing politics. You know, it's playing politics when you ask someone to govern. When you ask them to, what, keep the hospitals open? To help clean the forever chemicals out of the water? That's playing politics! How dare you tell us to come and govern, Tony Evers? We gotta go. We got a fundraiser. Some DC lobbyists. We're gonna plant a tree. And then, you know, we're gonna plant some dead presidents in our pockets. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom joins at 4, as is the custom right now. But, you know, we're counting down to the day real, real soon when Dom will join for each and every hour, 3 hours per day. That's all we ask you to do. I do it. Rich does it. Join us. 844-967-2789. Marquette polling. Trump 51, Biden 49. It's not the end of the world, but, you know, don't yawn it off.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
I was hoping they'd get to it. I want to see if this is better than the Billy Joel version. I'm not clear. That's enough. Thank you, Rich. Thanks for indulging me. Thank you all for joining the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Appreciate you indulging my opinions each and every afternoon. Dom's going to join at 4. You could join right now, 844-967-2789. And Charles Franklin's going to join at 5 o'clock, Marquette University Law School pollster. New polling out in the state of Wisconsin. Top line, Trump leads Biden. With or without third-party candidates. So that's a little troubling to me. The lack of overall voter enthusiasm in the state of Wisconsin, that is troubling to me. You know, I'm kind of in the gin up the base business, or at least I perceive myself to be in that business. I think you should all vote and tell all your friends to go vote. And, you know, sometimes I'll tell you who I even think you should vote for. But not today. You know. Polling out, Trump 51, Biden 49, and the electorate unenthused. That's what we are told. I have two sons, and both of them will be eligible to vote by this fall. And my younger son, he's my business partner, and I should mention this because otherwise he will chastise me, devilradioswag.com. If you would like to get super cool t-shirts or crew necks or hoodies, as the kids would wear, and it's got the super cool Devil's Advocates Radio logo on them, we now have a way for you to do so directly at the devilradioswag.com store. And my young son, who is 17 now, 18 between now and Election Day, you know, it's kind of his college fund, so help a brother out. And, you know, the black t-shirts, they're very slimming. But anyways, Karsten gets to vote this year for the first time. And my older son, Keaton, I do believe he went out and he voted for Tony Evers a couple of years ago, got to vote for the very first time. He's 20 now. He'll be 21 shortly after. So, you know, we'll all be drinking our sorrows away if Trump were to win re-election, as the current polling would indicate he might in the state of Wisconsin. But Caden has a few challenges, and I've probably told you folks, he is on the spectrum, and he has been designated disabled. And I don't see him as greatly limited in a lot of different ways, but he does have cognitive disabilities. And I was proud the first time I was able to take him up there to vote. And there were a couple of questions he had. You know, we actually practiced the ballot and we went over it. So, you know, you want people to feel comfortable. I think that's a good practice, even for young kids. I might take my 17-year-old, print a practice ballot, and by the time he's 18, hopefully he's comfortable walking in, registering, and voting for the very first time. But if you have limitations, specific disabilities, like let's say you're blind, how do you go and vote or vote absentee? You probably need a voting assistant. Now, when I helped read and made sure my son comprehended, and there were a couple of different things on the ballot that year, I think referendums and such, he needed a little guidance on some of that. Ultimately, he made his own choices, but he needed to understand what he was voting for. Well, what if someone had to read the ballot to you because you were blind? And you had to trust when you instructed them which way you wanted to vote, that they were actually marking your ballot in the way that you've requested. You have to give up the right to privacy. And voting rights groups here in the state of Wisconsin are suing to allow electronic voting for disabled voters. I found this piece at the Wisconsin Examiner, Henry Redmond, the journalist. A group of voting rights groups filed a lawsuit yesterday against the Wisconsin Elections Commission, WEC, to allow voters with disabilities to cast and file absentee ballots electronically. Again, why? Because they have to give up the right to privacy. But let me read on. The lawsuit argues that every voter in Wisconsin has the right to a secret ballot. I think they should. However, a law against voting electronically denies some voters with disabilities the right because they need an assistant to help them read and fill out the traditional paper ballot. Here's a quote. Because these voters can vote absentee only by using a paper ballot, they must select an assistant to read and mark their ballot for them. The lawsuit filed yesterday in the Dane County Circuit Court states, doing so forces voters with disabilities to surrender their independence and privacy and share their vote and trust that their ballot was marked accurately. A surrender of the constitutional right to a secret ballot not demanded of voters without disabilities. Now, the suit was brought by the Disabilities Rights Wisconsin and the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, as well as four voters with disabilities. Now, specifically, these voters, two of which are blind, one has cerebral palsy, and one has a spinal muscular atrophy. On several occasions, the WEC has acknowledged that blind and low vision voters have no way of casting an absentee ballot independently under the current system. And the lawsuit states because of the failure to correct this, Wisconsin's voting statutes force voters with disabilities to relinquish, that's their quote, their constitutional right to a secret ballot in order to exercise their right to vote. Again, this is a quote, and I will quote, without the ability to cast an absentee ballot in secret, some Wisconsin voters with disabilities may opt to forego voting altogether, particularly those with disabilities whose disabilities create barriers to in-person voting. These obstacles are not mere oversights. They are products of a legislative choice. Did you hear that? It's the product of a legislative choice, a choice that unjustifiably protects the rights of voters without disabilities to cast their absentee ballots in secret, while requiring some voters with disabilities to surrender that same constitutional right or forgo the absentee ballot right altogether. Pardon me. Prior to 2011, municipal clerks were able to distribute electronic ballots absentee by email. But a law passed that year limited the option to only voters in the military and those living overseas. A previous attempt to overturn the law in federal court failed in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. However, that lawsuit focused on the law's effect on domestic travelers and students and not voters with disabilities. So that's some Scotty Wanker era policy. If you have a disability, you cannot be trusted to do an electronic absentee ballot. You cannot be trusted. And if you want to vote absentee, you know, perhaps it's inconvenient as a blind person or a functionally disabled person to go down to a polling place on election day. You want to make sure your vote counts just like everybody else's. Well, you would have to relinquish your privacy rights and have someone read to you and trust when you gave them the answer that A, they aren't trying to overtly influence you, or maybe they just wrote down the wrong answer altogether. You know, I hear Dan O'Donnell, I hear Right Wing Talk Radio, all these poor 4 to 5 months dead in a nursing home. They're so worried about the disability of the aged, but people that have legitimate defined disabilities, they give up their constitutional rights. Because Wanker said, come back. More Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Wednesday edition, a hump day. Yawner, not because we're not going to have a great show for you. We've got Charles Franklin coming up in the 5 o'clock happy hour. My little buddy Dominic, as his current custom, will join it for, but you know, that's all going to change very, very soon. I promise. We were negotiating his early starts. Coming very soon. Check your local listings. But I want to bring back a piece from Ruth Conniff over at the Wisconsin Examiner, and it's a commentary piece, but as Ruth would point out, this is not a normal election. Trump and his allies want to subvert Wisconsin's vote. Now, I spoke up briefly about an effort to sue to extend additional voting rights to disabled people, the right of privacy, especially for those that are visually impaired and would like to vote absentee. Not currently really an option here in the state, hasn't been since Scott Walker signed it into law. But it's more than just along the fringes here, folks. There is a wide-scale effort afoot. And I'm going to use some of Ruth Conniff's words, and then I'll give you a few of my own opinions as well. As Ruth writes, it was a lovely spring day in Milwaukee during the media walkthrough of the site of the Republican National Convention. Reporters, volunteers, and RNC staff mingled happily, gathered on the street outside the convention center to point at the sky and point on the glasses provided by the RNC organizers to view the partial solar eclipse. Well, while that was going on, folks, I was here in Madison covering Joe Biden. Let's not forget the president was here. But anyways, Ruth, doing the walkthrough, headed into this apocalyptic election year, with the future of democracy and the fate of the world hanging in the balance, the mood at Ground Zero was festive. Festive. Milwaukee Democratic officials, hoping for an economic boost from the convention, are eager to welcome Donald Trump and his followers to eat, drink, and party downtown. Convention organizers were quick to bat away startlingly bearish New York Times report about the near total absence of restaurant and venue reservations for July's RNC. near total absence of restaurant and venue reservations for July's RNC. Well, they're going to shut down the downtown. They're going to shut everything down around the Fiserv Forum. And if you are in the hospitality, the restaurant business, if you know what I'm saying, you need private parties. And if they're not already reserved, we're actually getting to the point where we're late in this game. In contrast, Ruth kind of writes, to Chicago, where dinner reservations and theater events are sold out ahead of President Joe Biden's August coronation. I got my room already booked in August to go down to Chicago. We'll bring you some of the greatest coverage ever. So here's a quote. Well, if you think about it, they've known who their nominee is going to be for 4 years. The chair of the RNC's Committee on Arrangements, Anne Hathaway, as Ruth kind of describes it, offered weekly when Urban Milwaukee pushed her on the underbooking of Milwaukee ahead of the big event. Now that Trump has confirmed his hammerlock on the Republican Party and purged the Republican National Committee staff of non-believers, the convention staff has remained intact. Hathaway was quick to declare those restaurant reservations and party bookings should start rolling in. Now, Trump this week said he loves Wisconsin and has so many friends here. Being Trump, he said it as a way of bolstering his lie that he actually won the presidential election here in 2020, only to have it stolen by Biden and the legitimate Wisconsin electors who managed to cast our state's votes for Biden, you know, despite the plot by the Wisconsin Republican Party officials to cast fraudulent ballots for Trump, the January 6th insurrection, and our own U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Failed effort that day to transmit those phony Trump ballots to Vice President Mike Pence. And even as we prepare for another round of conventions, as if there's were a normal election year, Trump and his minions are working overtime to try and subvert the democratic process ahead of Election Day in Wisconsin. She points out on right-wing talk radio this week, Trump, this article posted on the 11th, Trump took aim at Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf, claiming falsely that she stole the 2020 election for Biden and expressing outrage that the GOP Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has gotten rid of her. Now, Voss and Reince Priebus, the chair of Milwaukee's RNC host committee, should somehow fire Wolf, Trump said. Then he added, he will win Wisconsin. Now, bullying election officials is a coordinated national strategy in 2024, according to the Stateline, that is a journalistic outfit. Challenges to individual voters' ballots, lawsuits designed to slow down the voting process and gum up the works, and libelous attacks on nonpartisan officials who continue to run safe, accurate elections under enormous pressure and with inadequate resources. Well, that's all part of the GOP playbook. And Wisconsin's Trump-endorsed candidate for the U.S. Senate, Eric Hudvey, got a lot of attention this week for suggesting that most elderly voters in nursing homes should not be allowed to vote. Yeah, we've given Eric a little attention for that. His campaign tried to walk back the remark, which pretty clearly speaks for itself. Here's the quote earlier from Hudvey. If you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 months life expectancy. Almost no one in a nursing home is in a point to vote. Well, probably not for you anymore. I read on from Ruth Conniff. Without going all in on Trump's stolen election conspiracy theories, Hudvey has offered moral support, throwing around words like ballot harvesting and claiming that after 4 years of nonstop lies about election fraud, including by Republicans who know better, voters lack confidence in elections. And therefore, the only solution is to make it harder to vote. There's a lot at stake this year, including the possibility that women will lose control over our reproductive lives altogether, writes Ruth Conniff, and that lawless administration will turn its violent racist rhetoric into a campaign of terror and persecution against immigrants. It's possible the convention will go off without a hitch in Milwaukee. Delegates, donors, and lobbyists will show up to spend their money and leave without a violent clash between protesters and self-styled militia members who descended on southern Wisconsin cities in 2020. And it's possible we'll have a peaceful transfer of power and not a repeat of the horrors described in my colleague Eric Gunn by Michael Fanoni, the D.C. police officer who was beaten and tortured by Trump's insurrectionists at the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, and who is currently touring the country to warn that it could happen again. The key to heading off the worst-case scenario will be a robust defense of elections against the coordinated campaign to subvert them that is now underway. That campaign is not just the cause of the kind of fringe figures leading a hopeless effort to impeach Voss over imaginary voter fraud. It's a continuation of the work of the teams of Republican lawyers and legislators who back Trump and are doubling down on his 2020 effort to steal the vote. Wisconsinites fell for two Republican election integrity, and she puts air quotes on that. I think it's necessary because they don't better election integrity. But anyways, as Ruth Conniff writes here at the Wisconsin Examiner, Wisconsin fell for two Republican election integrity measures now enshrined in our state constitution after a statewide referendum this month. And state voters unwittingly helped ensure elections clerks remain under-resourced and poorly defended against the attacks that are coming this year. Voters need to wake up to the real threat to the integrity of our elections and the sanctity of their vote. It's not a Democratic scheme to harvest ballots or impersonate voters or a secret effort to change the outcome by a cabal of seemingly harmless election clerks. The people who are trying to steal your vote are the party officials who cast fake electoral ballots. Looking at you, Bob Spindell, right? For the presidential candidate who lost. They're the people who encouraged the violent storming of the U.S. Capitol to try and stop the certification of the last presidential election. And they are the quasi-respectable GOP officials. Looking at you, Brian Schimming, one of whom sits on the State Elections Commission. Oh, I guess she's now referencing Spindell, who openly seeks to diminish the voting power of people of color and other voters who are likely to oppose Trump. This is not a normal election in so many ways. But when Trump says he might never have the election again, he's not talking about the bleak future if his anti-democratic campaign wins. He's talking about what's happening right now under our noses while we're distracted by convention planning and party hoopla, she writes. Democracy might not die in darkness. It might die in broad daylight under the auspices of public officials who equivocate about the real impact of their loyalty to the authoritarian leader in the party atmosphere of a stage-managed convention supervised by a lot of nice people right here in our home state. Oh, it'll be a party. Party, party, party. Now, my little buddy Dominic, he has been quite concerned about what this convention's going to bring to Milwaukee. I don't live in Milwaukee. He does. He does. And we have been to a convention prior. And I'm talking about an RNC. We went to Cleveland in 2016. The advice given to us before we attended, bring your gas masks, boys. That's what they told us, because there will be tear gas possibly used and, you know, we might have to stem off the protest. All things considered, that convention, to my interpretation, was a bust for Cleveland. And I would hate to say that Milwaukee is going to look forward to a bust convention as well. Very well could be the case. Financially, this may not be the $200 million windfall that Milwaukee has been promised. Now, had the Dems come here, and no one feels worse about the fact that DNC didn't come here than Crudy. I mean, we harangued Tom Perez, then DNC chairman, for years. DNC MKE 2020. Well, it never came. But the fact that the Republicans are bringing the coronation of the Cheeto Messiah to Milwaukee, if you think that that's going to create a festive atmosphere and people are going to be looking to spend their dollars in downtown bars and restaurants, I'm a little leery. I got to tell you, I think it's going to be a fiscal bust. I hope not. Cost a lot of money to put on a shindig like this. Here's our plan, though. We will be at a bar. I think you knew that. I think you suspected our fair audience, the Devil's Advocates audience. You know us well enough. You know that we're probably going to base at the Roman Coin for the course of the week. We're going to be on Brady Street. And technically, that's where my little buddy Dominic goes each and every day to join me on the airwaves. Now, Brady Street, that's where we first based at. When I bought my first little radio station in Milwaukee, it was WRRD, Resistance Radio. And we were based on Brady Street in Milwaukee. And the Roman Coin was one of our fine sponsors, one of our neighbors up the street, one of our favorite places. I think we've celebrated our first 3, 4, 5 anniversaries in business at the Roman Coin. Well, you can bet I'm not going to be inside the tent, if you know what I'm saying. I'm not going to be in there for the hoopla and the coronation. Now, at some point during the week, we do intend to stick our heads in the Fiserv Forum and bring you, you know, our own insights as to what's going on there. But you can bet your sweet ass I'm not going to get stuck in that building for a week with that party. I'm not wearing a brown shirt, and I am not broadcasting from the Fiserv Forum or the Panther Arena. We will be the home of the protest party. If you want to protest or party, and that's the, pardon me, the week of July 15th through 18th in Milwaukee, well, come party with the devil's advocates. We'll be at the Roman Coin, and we will be doing it our own special way. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but, you know, the city of Milwaukee has not actually given out any permits for any sort of marches or protests or anything. Now, you can think this is a good thing. No one wants to come. No, lots of people want to come. Lots of people want to march within shouting distance of the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. The fact that this process has not been fully flushed out, and we are getting kind of late in the party here, folks. I'm telling you, mid-April, they're doing the walkthroughs. So, it's going to be crazy out there. We'll be there protesting and partying at the Roman Coin. You can join us there. We'll tell you how. But come back, more Devil's Advocates. You can always be part of the party. 844-96-PARTY.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocate.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Wednesday edition. Dom joining soon. Pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin in the Happier Happy Hour. And you can always be a part. 844-967-2789. I hate to make it all about the party, but there is a convention coming to Milwaukee in July. That's like a business quarter away. I know you're like, who cares, Crudy? We're not going to the Republican convention. Well, Crudy and Dom will be there, at least, you know, to stand outside the tent and, you know, do the proverbial you-know-what into the tent. Now, we'll have a different sort of coverage when the DNC goes down to Chicago. Oh, that's going to be a party. If you are a DNC delegate or you'd like to be, this Friday is your deadline. You got to ask. You got to make it through some process. But I will be partying my arse off down at Chicago for the DNC and the official nomination of Joe Biden. And I can just tell you, comparing and contrasting, because in 2016, we went to both national conventions. I don't know if Joe Biden's going to win this fall, but the Democrats will have a much better party. I can tell you that from personal experience. And the question I would have is, will these turn into circus-like atmospheres? We, you know, I guess those of us that know the history know 1968, the convention in Chicago, the Democratic convention didn't go off so well. And the underlying tone, of course, was the Vietnam War. Well, you know, we got some Middle Eastern excursions going on right now. And there's definitely some sentiment, some anti-Joe Biden sentiment because of the pro-Palestinian sentiment. Some think Joe's a little too close with Netanyahu and the Israelis. But the market polling says that's not the top issue. Not amongst those they polled. Hell, it's way, way down the list. So I don't know if that will carry the same weight as the Vietnam War and the draft and things of that nature. I mean, that was a different time, folks. You know it, I know it. The specter of a future Middle Eastern war scares me as a father of three. But anyways, let's talk about the convention. This from Isaiah Thomas. not the basketball player, the journalist. As the July Republican National Convention in Milwaukee creeps closer with each passing week, about 3 months now, folks, frustration is mounting among local activists. More than 60 organizations, collectively known as the Coalition to March on the RNC, are asking why the city of Milwaukee has yet to approve a permit allowing the coalition to hold a family-friendly march within sight and sound of the convention. Members of the coalition say they fear the public's ability to be heard during the convention will be stifled by a series of opaque guidelines developed in secret by convention organizers. That'd be the Republicans, right? Now, Omar Flores, a spokesperson for the coalition and the finance chair of the Milwaukee Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression, well, I can see why the Republicans don't want you marching, said that the city has made the coalition jump over multiple hurdles to try and get its permit approved. And negotiations with the city continue just a couple of months before the convention. Here's his quote. Our demands from the beginning have been, we want to be within sight and sound of the Pfizer Forum, Flores told the Wisconsin Examiner. And now we're having to form even more demands just because of all the obstacles that they're trying to put forth. Yeah, I know that feeling some days. Among other requirements, coalition organizers object to questions put to them by the city. They're telling us we need to sign a checkbox that says nobody at the protest or involved in this process has ever been involved in any kind of violence, vandalism, or disruption, and this and that, says Flores. Obviously, there's going to be thousands coming to the city. I mean, even hundreds organizing this. I mean, obviously, no one can make a statement like that. And also, I mean, the way the wording is also extremely vague. During a March 18th meeting with the City Public Works Committee, Nicholas DeSato explained that this particular determination would be made by the police chief. That's not reassuring, folks. City officials may deny or revoke a permit if the application contains inaccurate or incomplete information, or if the police chief determines that a person or persons involved in the registration had participated in a violent or disruptive behavior during any parade or public demonstration in the past. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Black Lives Matter, but I suspect anyone that's ever marched in the past and been targeted by, let's say, Milwaukee police, maybe they're on the known list, because a lot of people march for a lot of reasons in Milwaukee. Well, I would think each and every one of those could be disqualified from doing a peaceful protest at the RNC this summer. Flores and other organizers, back to this piece, fear this could be used by the city as a last minute to deny the coalition's request to march. There are also questions about the parade route and the creation of a speaking platform. Flores told Wisconsin Examiner the coalition was promised first dibs on the speaking platform, but only for a single 15-minute slot. That's like one segment. I can do that standing on my head. A city's website for the RNC detailed various rules for speaking. Individual people or organizations will only be allowed to reserve a single time slot. A single time slot. So if you're the League of Women Voters, you can reserve 15 minutes. And if I claim I'm speaking on behalf of the League of Women Voters, guess what? I just used up your 15 minutes. Additionally, if someone signs up for a group or organization, I'll slow down, they will essentially speak for the entire group rather than having different people from that organization reserve slots. And time slots are non-transferable, and speakers must check in no later than 30 minutes before their assigned time. This is seeming onerous, folks. Failure to appear timely may result in losing your spot, the website states, and motorized vehicles, bicycles, and personal sound equipment, including microphones and bullhorns, will not be allowed. All of these regulations, the city website notes, are also subject to change. Subject to change! I mean, how do you plan for this? Obviously, they're putting these hurdles up purposefully, I would guess. Now, a separate application will be required for the speaker's platform. Flores, the aforementioned, said, mind you, it's first come, first serve basis. So we could be sharing the stage with a bunch of right-wingers, extremists, basically creating a huge conflict zone, if you want to use that terminology. Flores said the coalition members have repeatedly voiced their concerns with city officials close to the RNC process. Meanwhile, the activists fear that their members of the city's common council are being left out of the loop. They're not communicating with anyone. They're just leaving our comments to die. Don't let this happen, folks. Anyways, the right to protest. I hold it above almost all others. The First Amendment protects damn near everything I say. Come back. We'll keep stretching the First Amendment limitations. More devil's advocates.